الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our readings in كشف الشبهات by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. And we have read a number of important benefits and points that the author has mentioned up until this point رحمه الله تعالى. We have discussed some great principles with regards to understanding the correct creed and the pure Tawheed, and this is achieved by learning the way of the pagans in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically, and the way of paganism and his people from the early days, and likewise learning the call of all of the prophets and messengers alayhi wassalatu wassalam. In this manner, the pure creed becomes clear by learning the falsehood and its means and reasons, and likewise by learning the truth in its details with clarity. So the author, he has discussed these points, and now up to here we have come to the clear reality that the polytheism and the paganism and the shirk, associating of partners in worship that the pagan Arab were upon in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way that it occurred and the reason that it occurred is exactly like the action and the creed of some of those in the time of the author, rather all the way until this day, who ascribed to al-Islam, If we look into the shirk of Quraysh and those Arab tribes in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how it occurred and the reason why it occurred, and then we look at some of the actions of those who ascribed to Islam in the time of the author all the way up until these days, but have deviated from the correct creed, we'll find that their belief and their actions and the reasons for them are exactly the same. The only thing they have done is changed some of the names, to make the falsehood and the evil seem appealing. And this is something that we have seen in a clear manner, that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to take idols and objects of worship besides Allah azza wa jal, but they did not believe that they created nor provided nor sustained or controlled the authority whatsoever. Rather, they took them as intercessors. And this was their creed and their belief. And they believed in Allah azza wa jal that he was the creator and that he had authority. And this has been established with a number of evidences and proofs in the previous classes from the Quran and from the Sunnah, alhamdulillah. And likewise, those who ascribe to al-Islam but have deviated in their creed and in their religion until this day from the extreme Sufiya and the Rafidah and the likes, those who have attachments to the grave, they have the same creed and same belief. And they do not worship those in the grave except to draw them near to Allah, so they claim. With the same understanding. So we have seen a number of doubts that those people, they have, those who ascribe to al-Islam, yet they have fallen into the same shirk as those in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have seen a number of doubts that they have, and the weakness of that, and how to refute the falsehood of that and clarify the truth in a facilitated manner. Alhamdulillah. Now the author continues to establish more points clarifying this issue, and we read, he says, Rahimahullah. فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ هَذَا الَّذِي يُسَمِّهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ فِي زَمَانِنَا الْإِعْتِقَادِ هُوَ الشِّرْكُ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ وَقَاتَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ فَعَلَمْ أَنَّ شِرْكَ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَخَفُ مِنْ شِرْكِ أَهْلِ وَقْتِنَا بِأَمْرَيْنِ. So the author, he says now, so therefore, if you know now, meaning if you have learned up until this point and seen this great clarification that we have read and studied, if you learn now that which the people, the mushrikun in our time, referring to those who worship graves, that the mushrikun in our time, that which they call or consider to be al-i'tiqad, and this is what they call it, the Sufiya and the likes like them, they call it al-i'tiqad. That this thing that they call al-i'tiqad in reality is the same exact shirk that the Quran was revealed with regards to. They call it al-i'tiqad, yani al-i'tiqad fil awliya, meaning that they believe that the wali can help them. They believe that the wali, he can aid them. They believe that the wali, he can save them. They believe that the wali, he can hear them and he will respond to them. They also believe that the wali can punish them. They have an attachment and a creed to the wali, and they call it al-i'tiqad. And they called it al-i'tiqad. Yani, this means belief. belief, but they're trying to disguise this issue. And in reality, it is called a shirk in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. They try to call it something else to make it seem appealing, or make it seem permissible, or make it seem allowed, or to cover up the evils and ills of that. But in reality, it is clear shirk. But in reality, clear shirk. So that which they call al-i'tiqad, this is what we have discussed previously, and the doubts that we have refuted with regards to. So now we realize that what they call al-i'tiqad in reality is shirk, the same exact shirk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had refuted and clarified the ills of in the Quran. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought those people who are upon that way. Now that you realize this, you must know that the shirk of those in the early days, the shirk of the ancestors in the early days, is lighter than the shirk of the people in our times. Is lighter than the shirk of the people of our times. And up until this point, the author, he's establishing the evidences and proof and clarifying the direct resemblance between the creed, belief, and actions of worship of the pagan Arabs in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the creed and the belief and the actions of worship of those who ascribe to Islam in his time, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that they are the exact same. They're the exact same issue. They call them different names. They call them different names. They call their gods ilah, and they call their gods wali. They call them the aliha, and they call them awliya. And they seek nearness to their aliha. They seek nearness to their aliha. Yani Quraysh and the pagan Arab, they seek nearness to their aliha, believing that they will draw them near to Allah. And likewise, these people here, they seek nearness to their awliya, believing that they will draw them near to Allah. So they have the same belief, and they have the same creed, and they have the same actions, and they do it for the same reasons. So this has all been established, barakallahu fikum, in a number of previous classes, and this work here, with evidence and proof, time after time, from many different aspects, establishing the creed of Quraysh and the Arab in those days, and likewise the pagans in general, all the way from the time of Nuh, whenever shirk first appeared in mankind, alayhi salatu wassalam. And likewise the creed of those people today, and how it resembles it exactly, only they have changed the names. And likewise, we have seen the creed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the tawheed that he was sent with, and likewise the tawheed that all of the prophets and messengers they were sent with from the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. So now that we see this resemblance here, the author, he's telling us now, it's not just a simple resemblance. And this issue is more severe than what it may appear or what one may think. I mean, now that that resemblance is established, yes, they did their shirk in that manner. And these people, they're doing their shirk in the same way, even if they call it something different. Even if they call it something different. But whenever we analyze these two parties, these two groups, and we look into the pagans in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and their creed and the reality of that along with their worship, and we look at those people in the time of the author, and those people continue until this day, we will find that the shirk of the people in later generations is more severe, and more strong, and more deep-rooted even than those of the early generations. This is what the author is saying now. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ شِرْكَ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَخَفُّ مِنْ شِرْكِ أَهْلِ وَقْتِنَا بِأَمْرَيْنَ. You must know that the shirk of the first generations is lighter than the shirk of the people of our time by two aspects. أَحَدُهُمَا أَنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ وَلَا يَدْعُونَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ أَوْ الْأَوْلِيَاءَ أَوْ الْأَوْثَانَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا فِي الرَّخَى وَأَمَّا فِي الشِّدَّةِ فَيُخْلِصُونَ دِينَ لِلَّهِ. He says, rahimahullah, that the first aspect is that the early generation of pagans and polytheists, the early generations of those who made shirk, and in referring to those in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and before that, they did not associate partners with Allah azza wa jalla and make du'a, supplicating and calling on the angels, nor the awliya, the saints, nor the idols, along with Allah. They did not make shirk and call on the angels and the awliya, the saints, and the idols along with Allah, except in good times, except in times of ease. This is whenever they would establish the shirk that they were upon. As for in hard times, in times of distress, then they would make the deen, they would make the deen, and they would make the worship, they would make the submission, they would make the love and the hope and the fear, sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah alone. Sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah alone. So this is something likewise clarifying what the people were upon in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have discussed this from the very first class, that the most important issue to understand this affair, to know in detail with proof and evidence, the creed of the mushrikeen, especially in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those whom he was sent to specifically. What was their creed and what was their belief? How did it happen and what was the reason for that? And what was the reason for that? To know this is of utmost importance to realize the true call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And those who do not know what Abdul Muttalib was upon, Millat Abdul Muttalib, those who do not know what Abu Jahl was upon and Abu Lahab was upon, they will easily be misled and they will easily be confused, and they will not many times be able to purify the Tawheed, and the little doubts will come to them and they will be affected by that. But the one who learns what they were upon, he will be able to see clearly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon. They'll be able to see clearly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasallam, he opposed them and their creed directly. And in this shirk, he came with the opposite of that. He came with ikhlasuddin lillahi wahdahu la sharika lah. He came with making the deen, the submission, the obedience, the surrender, the love and the hope and the fear, the trust and reliance, and every action of worship for Allah alone, purely and sincerely. Purely and sincerely, contrary to what they were upon. Contrary to what they were upon. Along with the fact that they used to believe in Allah. And along with the fact that they used to worship Allah, and along with the fact that they believed that Allah, he had the ultimate authority and control. And from the evidence that was clarified, this is what the author is mentioning here. And this is of utmost importance to understand, that they only made shirk, and they only associated partners with Allah. They only devoted actions of worship to their idols besides Allah, whatever they may have been, to their objects of worship besides Allah, whatever they may have been in times of ease, in times of ease. As for whenever the distress came and whenever they're afraid for their life, they would leave their idols. Even there are narrations that some of them will be in a ship in the sea and they would bring their idols with them. And whenever the storm came and the waves became very rough and they became in severe distress and fear for their life, they'll throw the idols overboard and cast them and get rid of them and call on Allah alone. And this is because of their creed and their belief. They know Allah. They know Allah, and they know that Allah has authority and command, and they know that the affairs of this creation are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So at this time, they would only call on Him because they know the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal and that He is the only one who can save them in this time. But whenever Allah would save them from that trial or that hardship or difficulty, and then they would be in times of ease, they would fall back and regress into the ways of their forefathers and begin to make shirk with Allah again and call on the idols besides Allah. And then if they again found themselves in distress or in hard situations, they would forget their idols. They would forget their objects of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they would devote themselves to Allah entirely with love and hope and fear, begging Him for safety and help and savior from the distress that they're facing. This is the creed of the mushrikeen. So this is what the author is saying here. And this is something that is very clear in the book of Allah. And only a fool or an ignorant person, only a fool or a severely ignorant person or someone who is staunchly rebellious would reject this. And we read the verses that the author, he mentions, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Kama qala ta'ala. This is just as Allah, he says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. And whenever they ride in the ship, in the ocean, they call on Allah alone, making the deen purely for Him. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ. الْفُلْكِ السَّفِينَةِ فِي الْبَحْرِ. If they ride in the ship, meaning in the sea, دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ. This is about dua. دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ. da'awullah, they made the dua. Now, when they're riding in the ship, whenever they're riding in the ocean and they become afraid for their life and they're surrounded by waves going up and down and the likes like this, and they are afraid that they're going to drown or they're going to fall overboard or their ship is going to collapse, da'awullah. Now they make the dua for Allah. How do they make it? Mukhrisina lahuddin. Mukhrisina lahuddin. These are the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Da'awullaha mukhrisina lahuddin. They call on Allah alone, supplicating to Allah alone, directing their hope and their fear and their trust and their reliance upon Allah alone, making al-ittijah. Al-ittijah wa tawajjuh ila Allahi wahdah. Yani they turn their hearts and their hopes and their faith to Allah alone, mukhrisina lahuddin. Making their deen sincerity and purity for Him. For Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mukhlisina lahu da'awullaha, mukhlisina lahu deen. They called on Allah, making the deen purely for Him. So the deen is a name for ibadah. The word deen, it has a number of meanings. From that, submission and surrender. From that, obedience and that, in the reality of all of that, is ibadah. Da'awullaha, mukhlisina lahu deen. Yani mukhlisina lahu ibadah, with dua. They called on Allah, making the dua, making the worship, making the servitude, making the obedience, making the trust, hope, faith, and reliance, sincerity and purity for Allah alone. Sincerity and purity for Allah alone. The question is, why do they do that? Why do they do that now? Whenever they're in the boat and the ship and the waves are tossing them left and right. Why now? Da'awu Allah mukhlisina lahu ad-deen. They called on Allah, making the dua sincerely and purely for Him alone. Ahsanta, yes. Because they know Allah. Because they know Allah and they know Allah. This is proof they know Allah. Somebody who is in the, you have to imagine these affairs. We have to imagine these affairs. This is what our Lord is telling us in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He revealed this from above the heavens to clarify this falsehood and warn the people from that. يعني وفإذا ركبوا في الفلك دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين. Whenever they're riding in the ship, they call on Allah, making the religion, making the deen purity for Allah alone. They forget everybody else, only calling on Allah. This is because they know Allah, and they know the authority and command of Allah, and they know that Allah, He has the rububiyyah, that Allah, He has the lordship, meaning He has the command and He has the authority, and nothing happens except with His permission. That's why they forget their idols. They forget their objects of worship. They forget the angels. They forget the prophets. They forget the saints. They forget all of them, and they call on Allah alone because they know Allah. They know that only Allah can help them now. They realize it at this moment, what happens to the fitrah? Al-fitratu tastayqid. The fitrah, the natural disposition in their hearts that they were created upon, fitrat Allah allati fatara nasa alayha, the fitrah that Allah created mankind upon, qim wajhaka lid-dini hanifa, and establish your face, be sincere, make the religion sincerity, purity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, devoted to Him, purity and entirety, fitrat Allah allati fatara nasa alayha, their fitrah has been corrupted and tainted. Their fitrah has been corrupted and tainted with this creed and this belief. But at this time, in this situation, what happens? The fitrah wakes up. The fitrah wakes up. Tastayqidu al-fitrah. And it goes to Allah. And they direct themselves to Allah. And they have all hope, trust, and reliance and fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because they believe in Allah. This is because they know Allah. And they know about His lordship and His power and authority. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah, He says, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. And then whenever Allah, He saves them to the land, and He saves them and brings them safely to land, then suddenly they begin to associate partners again. And suddenly they begin to associate partners again. You need devoting some actions of worship that are the right of Allah alone to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are people who claim that the mushrikun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they do not know Allah or they do not believe in Allah. So this verse here and these other verses, like these verses mentioned here and many other verses in the book of Allah, clarify the falsehood of that, and that is a lie. That is a blatant lie or a clear misunderstanding. A blatant lie and a clear misunderstanding. Either they are clearly lying while they know that it's the truth to cover up their falsehood, the people who claim that, or they have a great misunderstanding there, or they're severely ignorant. One of these affairs, one of these affairs, because Allah, He mentions this. Somebody who is in the middle of the ocean and the waves are tossing him left and right, and then Allah, He mentions, they called on Allah alone. Would they call on someone they do not believe? If they didn't know Allah, would they call on Allah? And can somebody call on Allah and not believe in Him? Can somebody put all of their faith and trust and reliance upon Allah, but they don't believe in Him or they do not know Him? It is only because they believe in Him and only because they know Him from His Lordship, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that caused them in this dire circumstance to call on Him alone, to call on Him alone. So this is a clear refutation of what those extreme Sufis and the likes of them, they say that the pagans in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not even believe in the existence of Allah. They didn't believe in the existence of Allah. So if somebody's in the middle of the ocean afraid of drowning and he's calling on somebody but he doesn't believe in them, is that possible? He's calling on someone he doesn't believe in, is that possible? No, that is not possible. So these lies that these extreme Sufis and the likes of them have, and those who are upon their way from the Rafidah, and those who are deviant in this manner, their falsehood is clear, and their falsehood is weak, and their creed is so weak. It's so pathetic. But a person, if he does not have knowledge, he'll be deceived. Al-muwahid bidun silah, yulabbas alayhi, the one who is a person of tawheed, but he has no knowledge, he can easily be misled. He can easily be misled, and he could have misunderstandings, and these doubts could affect him because of a deficiency in knowledge. But in reality, a person of the Qur'an who strives to learn the Qur'an, its recitation, and likewise its meanings and law and legislation and how to follow it, and he strives in that way, it will become clear to him, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The author, he says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. And whenever harm touches you upon the sea, those that you call upon vanish from you except him. And whenever harm touches you in sea, and again, whenever they're at sea, in the ship, and they're afraid for their life, and the waves are tossing them left and right, then what do they do? Allah, He mentions, ضَلَّ مَن تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ, vanish. And all those that you call upon vanish from you except Allah. They go away, and completely gone in their minds and their hearts. There's absolutely no attachment. Rather, they forget them. Rather, they forget them, and they call on Allah alone. These verses here are in Surah Al-Isra. And the author, he mentioned this portion of it, but if we read the rest of this verse and the verses after, there are great benefits with regards to this affair. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا أَعْرَضْتُمْ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. And whenever harm touches you upon the sea, those that you call upon vanish from you except Him, meaning Allah alone. But whenever He brings you safe to land, you turn away from Him, and man is ever ungrateful. And man is ever ungrateful. So this is their circumstance. Allah is saying that in the sea, whenever they're afraid for their life, those whom they associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, they leave them, they forget them, and they vanish from their hearts and their minds, and they devote themselves to Allah alone. And then whenever Allah responds to them, and Allah, He responds to the muttar, مَحْمَا كَانَتْ عَقِيدَتُ, and Allah, He responds to the one who is in dire need, the one who calls on Him alone while in dire need, Allah responds to him, even if he's a mushrik, whatever his creed may be. At the time in dire need, if he makes the dua sincerely for Allah, Allah will respond to him. Allah will respond to him. Allah will respond to him. This is from the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who call on Him alone, Allah responds to them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if he's a mushrik, even if he's a kafir. Even if he's a mushrik, even if he's a kafir, we should not misunderstand. This does not mean the one who calls on Jesus, Allah responds to him. Does not mean the one who calls on idols, the one who calls on Allah, the one who calls on Allah, even if he's a mushrik, Allah will respond to him. Allah will respond to him. Even if he's a mushrik, Allah will respond to him. Likewise, the same issue, similar, the same idea, to understand the da'wah al-mazloom. Da'wah to al-mazloom, that Allah responds to the supplication of the oppressed. And that is whenever the oppressed, he calls on Allah to help him. As for the one who is oppressed and he calls on Jesus to help him, Allah does not respond to that. Allah, or the one who calls on the grave, the one who calls on al-bedawi and the likes like this, Allah does not respond to this. Allah does not respond to this. This is not what is intended here. Allah, He answers the call of those in distress whenever they call on him sincerely and purely alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here he's saying this, that whenever they're in the sea, they call on Allah alone and they forget their idols besides him and they make the dua and the deen purely and sincerely for Allah. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِ. And whenever he saves you, meaning whenever Allah responds to your call and he saves you from distress in the sea and he brings you safely to land, and he brings you safely to land, you turn away. You turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal. You turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal. And indeed, the human being is very ungrateful. It's very ungrateful. So they have a circumstance in the sea. When they're afraid for their life, they call on Allah. Whenever Allah responds to them and answers their dua and saves them and brings them to land, they turn away from Allah. They turn away from Allah. And they devote some of the servitude to others besides Allah in that false creed and in that lowly way that has preceded. And in believing, they'll draw them near to Allah. But even they'll draw them near to Allah. Allah, he says, أَفَأَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمْ جَانِبَ الْبَرِّ وَأَوْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاسِبًا ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكُمْ وَكِيلًا. Allah, he says, أَفَأَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمْ جَانِبَ الْبَرِّ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاسِبًا ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكُمْ وَكِيلًا. Do you not feel secure that Allah will cause a side of the land to swallow you up? And you don't, are you not afraid that the one who can destroy you in the sea, you think he cannot destroy you in the land? Why are you only afraid of Allah in the sea whenever the waves are tossing you left and right? Are you not aware that Allah Azza wa Jalla, likewise, he is the Lord of the land, and he can cause the land to swallow you and to destroy you likewise and to fall from under your feet, or to cause the land to shake and to crumble and to swallow you up? Do you then feel secure that he will not cause a side of the land to swallow you up, or that he will not send against you a violent sandstorm? Any that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you're on land, you think that Allah, he cannot send a wind to wipe you out or destroy you. You're not afraid of him. You're only afraid of him in the water, in the ocean. And whenever they're facing that affair, then you shall find no wakil or anyone to protect them. And then Allah, he says again, to further emphasize this, أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يُعِيدَكُمْ فِيهِ تَارَةً أُخْرَى فَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ قَاصِفًا مِنَ الرِّيحِ فَيُغْرِقَكُمْ بِمَا كَفَرْتُمْ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا بِهِ تَبِيعًا. Or do you feel secure that he will not send you back a second time to sea and send against you a hurricane of wind and drown you because of your disbelief? Then you will not find any avenger therein against us, no one to help you against us. Meaning that, are you not afraid that whenever Allah, he saves you from the distress that you're in and he brings you back to land, are you not afraid that Allah will cause the land to swallow you for your disbelief and for your ungratefulness, or that Allah will send the wind against you to wipe you out like he did the previous nations? Are you not afraid of this? Or even maybe Allah Azza wa Jal, if he decreed, he could put it in your heart to have another need and you will find yourself in the sea again. And you will find yourself in the sea again, in a ship again, in the waves again, tossing you left and right again. What are you going to do now? Are you not afraid of these affairs? And because Allah, he can wipe you out in the land, just as he can wipe you out and destroy you in the sea. And if he saves you from the sea and brings you to the land, then maybe he can cause you to wind up back in the sea and need him again. So therefore, you should fear Allah Azza wa Jalla in every circumstance, in every situation. This is the point. This is the point. And this is a clarification of their tanaqul. Of their tanaqul, that they are in contradiction. Their creed is in contradiction. Their creed is not pure. It's not good. It's not correct. It's contrary. It's in conflict. And whenever they're in the sea, they call on Allah Azza wa Jal. Then whenever they're in the land, they call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Did they not think that the one in this who can destroy them in the sea, he cannot destroy them in the land? He cannot destroy. They know that Allah, he's the Lord of the land and the sea. They know this. So why do they do this? Because of tanaqul, because of this contradiction, because of this false creed and deviation in their understanding. So this is all to clarify this. So then the author, he mentions more verses. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And the Most High, he says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَتَتْكُمُ السَّاعَةَ أَغَيْرُ اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And the verses continue, but إِيَّهُ تَدْعُونَ فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ إِنْ شَاءَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ. And Allah, he mentions in this noble verse, likewise say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me if Allah's torment comes upon you or the hour comes upon you, would you then call upon anyone other than Allah? And then Allah, he says, inform me, reply if you're truthful. Yani in kuntum sadiqeen. Would you call on anyone besides Allah? We have seen that whenever the likes of these affairs happen, they call on only Allah. Only Allah. That's why Allah has a reply if you're truthful, because they know that at this time they only called on Allah. That's why Allah, he says, بَلْ إِيَّاهُ تَدْعُونَ فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ إِنْ شَاءَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ نَيْ. And you know, to him alone you would call. This is something that is seen and clarified in the Quran likewise and in the Sunnah. That is Allah alone at this time of distress that they call. And if he wills, he will remove that distress from which you called upon him. And you would forget at that time whatever partners you joined in worship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And at that time, whenever you're calling on Allah in those times of hardship and distress and difficulty, وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ, and you forget everything that you associate as partners in worship with Allah Azza wa Jal. بَلْ إِيَّاهُ تَدْعُونَ, rather it is only Him that you call. And you forget all of those false gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you forget all of those false gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people, they have knowledge of Tawheed. They have knowledge of Tawheed. They have knowledge of Allah and His Lordship. And they have knowledge of the authority and command of Allah. We have seen so many evidences clarifying this also from the Sunnah. And from that was the Talbiyah of the Mushrikun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who remembers that? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika illa sharikan huwa laka tamliku huwa ma malika. Oh Allah, we respond to you. Oh Allah, we respond to you. You have no partners whatsoever. Illa sharikan huwa laka tamliku huwa ma malik. Except for one partner that you have, that you own, and you own what it owns. And meaning their gods and their idols and objects of worship that they believe will draw them near to Allah. That they believe will draw them near to Allah. So they know that Allah, He has the authority. They know that Allah, He has the command. And they know that Allah, He has the power. The ultimate authority returns back to Allah Azza wa Jal. For this reason, they called on Him alone in times of hardship. For this reason, they called on Him alone in times of hardship. So He says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى قُلْ أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ إِنَ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَتَتْكُمُ السَّاعَةَ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ. This is the verse that we just read. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, in the Most High, He says, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانُ الضُّرُّ دَعَا رَبُّهُ مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً مِنْهُ نَسِيَ مَا كَانَ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ. الآيه. And then likewise, Allah, He mentions in His book, and whenever some harm touches man, he cries to his Lord, Allah alone, turning to Him in repentance. But whenever He bestows a favor upon him from Himself, and whenever Allah, He bestows the favor upon him, then he forgets that which he cried before, and he sets up rivals to Allah in order to mislead others from his path. With the message, إِنسَانُ الضُّرُّ دَعَ رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً مِّنْهُ نَسِيَ مَا كَانَ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَجَعَلَ لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ قُلْ تَمَتَّعْ بِكُفْرِكَ قَلِيلًا إِنَّكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. And when some hurt touches man, he cries to his Lord, meaning Allah alone, turning to Him in repentance. But when He bestows a favor upon him from Himself, he forgets that for which he cried before. And he sets up rivals to Allah in order to mislead others from his path. Say, take your pleasure in your disbelief for a while. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take your pleasure in disbelief for a while. Surely you are one of the dwellers of the hellfire. Surely you are one of the dwellers of the hellfire. And those who have this creed and those who do the likes of this. This is a lowly way that a person who realizes the majesty of Allah, the authority of Allah, the command of Allah, the power of Allah, and he will realize his own weakness and deficiency and need of Allah. And then he will submit and call on Allah and beg Allah and cry to Allah and make promises and oaths to Allah. And Allah will respond to him out of his mercy and kindness. And then whenever the person comes out of that situation, he forgets Allah Azza wa Jal and turns back into disobedience, or worse than that, like then turning back to shirk. Or worse than that, like them turning back to shirk. Waliyadhu billah. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He responds. Allah Azza wa Jal, He helps those in need. But a believer, he should take a lesson from this and not be like them. And not from any manner. Not from any manner. It's from the lowly way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond, and He will aid a person in times of need. And then whenever Allah aids them after that and grants them a blessing and a favor, that they turn away from Allah, turning away from His obedience, or they use that same very blessing in the avenues that are impermissible and not allowed. That are impermissible and not allowed. So the author, he continues to mention verses. He says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ. كالظلل يعني دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين. This is in Surah Luqman. And whenever the waves, they cover them like clouds. كالظلل دعوا الله مخلصين له. They call on Allah alone, making the dua, making the ibadah, making the worship, making the submission, the humbleness, the hope and the fear and the love. The love and the hope and the fear entirely for Allah Azza wa Jal. Entirely for Allah Azza wa Jal. You have to imagine a person in the middle of the ocean and the waves are tossing him left and right, up and down. Up, and some of them, they'll say that they feel, and they've been in situations like this, they feel like the waves, whenever they go up, they're at the peaks of mountains. And whenever they go down, they're like going down to the bottom of the ocean. That's how they feel. The waves become so high. So high that whenever it comes up, they feel like they're in the tops of on tops of mountains. Whenever it goes down, they feel like they're going down all the way to the very bottom of the ocean. And up and down, up and down, up and down, left and right, being tossed like a rag doll. What do you have to be like? Imagine a person in that situation, calling on Allah Azza wa Jal. Where is his heart? You don't have to say anything. You can already imagine it. You can already imagine it. You can already imagine it. So this is how they were called on Allah Azza wa Jal. They used to call on Allah in this manner. This is the right of Allah to call on Him in this manner in all times, in the sea and in the land. In the sea and in the land. They will make their religion purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is because they know Allah. This is because they know Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So their fitrah, it wakes up at this time, and they make their religion purely and sincerely for the sake of Allah. So the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, فَمَنْ فَهِمَ هَذِهِ الْمَسَلَةَ أَلَتِي وَضَّحَهَا اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَهِيَ أَنَّ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ قَتَلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ وَيَدْعُونَ غَيْرَهُ فِي الرَّخَاءِ وأما في الشدة فلا يدعون إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وينسون سادتهم تبين له الفرق بين شرك أهل زماننا وشرك الأولين ولكن أين من يفهم قلبه هذه المسألة فهما راسخا والله المستعان. So whoever understands this issue, so whoever understands this issue which Allah has clarified in His book, understand this. He mentions so many verses. Mentions so many verses clarifying. Whoever understands this issue here, that Allah has clarified in His book, and it is that the mushrikun, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, fought. They called on Allah and they called on others along with Allah, or they called on others besides Allah. They called on Allah and they called on others besides Allah in good times, in times of ease. And as for in times of hardship and dire necessity, then they called on Allah alone with no partners, and they forget their objects of worship that they called on before. This point is clear. Whoever understands this, he's saying, rahimahullah, it will now become clear for him the difference between the shirk of the people of our time and the shirk of those people in the earlier times. But where is the one whose heart will understand this? وَلَكِنْ أَيْنَ مَنْ يَفْهَمُ قَلْبُهُ هَذِهِ الْمَسَلَ فَهْمٍ وَهِي. But where is the one whom his heart understands this, a clear understanding? Meaning it's not a simple understanding that one will read, and it's not sufficient to have knowledge and to see or to recite. Rather, many of the people in his time and likewise till our day, they're from the greatest reciters and from the most proficient of memorizers, reciting the Quran precisely with the great ijazat and the likes in the Quran, and they memorize it precisely and they recite it precisely, some of them in the most beautiful manner, yet they do not understand it and they contradict the foundation of the creed established therein because their hearts do not understand. فَأَيْنَ مَنْ يَفْهَمُ قَلْبُهُ هَذِهِ. And where's the one who his heart understands? So a person, maybe he has knowledge, but knowledge is not as sufficient for guidance. The guidance is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah, He guides whom He wills. And this is from his rububiyyah likewise, and from His authority and His command, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He guides whom He wills from His grace and His mercy. And He misleads whom He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His justice and supreme wisdom, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So maybe someone will have knowledge, but he will not be guided. But he will not be guided. Maybe he will have knowledge, but he will not truly understand the knowledge that he has. Maybe he will have knowledge, but his heart will not be purified. His heart will not be purified. So therefore he will not truly understand. And this is what happens to the likes of these people. This is what the author is referring to. Where is the one who his heart understands a firm and proper understanding? Allahu al-musta'an. So this is the first affair. الأمر الثاني, the second affair, أن الأولين يدعون مع الله أناس مقربين عند الله. The first affair clarifying that the shirk of the people of later generations is more severe than the shirk of the earlier generations. What was the aspect of that? The first aspect, because they called on Allah, they worship their idols, they worship idols along with Allah, they worship others, they have objects of worship that they devote actions of worship to along with Allah in good times, but as for in bad times, then they worship Allah alone and no one else. This part is clear. So someone who worships Allah and others besides Allah in good times, but in bad times he calls on Allah alone, compared to someone who calls on others besides Allah in bad times and in good times, which one is lighter in the scale? Which one is better? Both of them are foul and wicked, but which one is better? Someone who calls on idols and others besides Allah all the time, or someone who only calls on others besides Allah in good times? Which one is better? The second one. So therefore, this is the point here. The shirk in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lighter than the shirk of the people in the later generations. Because the people in the extreme Sufi until this day, they called on their gods, on their saints, on the awliya, even in bad times. Even some of them even more severe in bad times. And this has been established and this is well known. And people who know them personally, they know this issue directly and firsthand. That whenever they're drowning or whenever they're afraid for their life, they're calling on Sidi Fulan, Badawi, 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 and the likes like this. Calling on others besides Allah, Dusuq Irfa'i. They're calling on him not only in bad times, but also in good times, even to the extent that it's been clarified. We discussed this in Kitab al-Tawheed a number of times. If you tell him to take an oath that this price was this much, or he paid this much, or that he did this or didn't do that, he will say, Wallahi, Wallahi, Wallahi. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. But if you say, swear by Badawi, he won't do it. He won't do it. He's afraid of the one in the grave more than he's afraid of Allah. And he respects him and honors him more than he respects Allah. He will not dare to take an oath by the one in the grave lying. But it's easy for him to do that. Yani, by the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. By the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. It has reached with some of them that they say in the bad times, you must call. You must call on the saints, call on the awliya. And the reason is because Allah, maybe he'll answer you, maybe he will not, but the wali, he will answer you, no doubt. This is what they believe, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greedy or stingy. They say, no, don't call on Allah, call on the wali, because the wali, he always answers. If you call on the wali, you're guaranteed to get an answer. As for Allah, maybe he'll answer you, maybe he will not answer you, maybe he'll save the response for the hereafter, maybe he'll remove the something. No, but if you call on the wali, he will give you what you want. This is from their creed and from their belief from the later generations. So this is clear that their shirk is more severe. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْأَمْرُ الثَّانِي. And the second affair, أَنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ يَدْعُونَ مَا أَلَّهِ أُنَاسٍ مُقَرَّبِينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِمَّا نَبِيًّا وَإِمَّا وَلِيًّا وَإِمَّا مَلَائِكَةً أَوْ يَدْعُونَ أَحْجَارًا وَأَحْجَارًا مُطِيعَةً لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى لَيْسَتْ بِعَاصِيَةٍ. وأهل زماننا يدعون مع الله أناسا من أفسق الناس والذين يدعونهم هم الذين يحكون عنهم الفجور من الزنا والسرقة وترك الصلاة بغير ذلك. The second aspect of how the shirk of the earlier generations is lighter than the shirk of those in the time of the author, rahimahullah, and likewise until this day, is that those in the earlier generations, whenever they call on others along with Allah, they're calling on people who are near to Allah. Like either they're calling on a prophet, or they're calling on a true saint, or they're calling on angels, or else they're calling on stones and trees, which are from the inanimate objects that do not disobey Allah. The stones and trees, they obey Allah. They do not disobey Allah. So the shirk in the time of the pagans, they called on people they believe were righteous. They called on people they believe they were righteous, like the prophets. They called on Jesus, for example, or other prophets, or they called on the awliya, or individuals that they deemed to be righteous. Even Lat, they thought he was a righteous man. They thought he was a righteous man that used to make some food for their pilgrims and give it to them for charity. That's why they honored him, because they believed him to be righteous.
because they believed him to be righteous. And even from before that, those other gods in the time of Nuh alayhi salam that continued until the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those were righteous men. They believed him to be righteous, or they called on the angels. They believed him to be righteous in the likes like this. Or they called on trees which have no ability to disobey Allah azza wa jalla, or stones in the likes like this. And the likes like this. The point here is to realize that those pagans in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they never associated partners with Allah and worship with someone they knew was corrupt and evil or an open sinner. They never did that. They never did that. If there's that, none of their objects in worship, they knew about him that he was a corrupt and evil or a lowly or a lewd individual. As for the shirk of those in the later generations, then these people, they're making shirk with Allah. They're calling on others along with Allah, people who are from the most wicked of mankind. And those who are calling on them, they're the ones who narrate their wickedness and evil to us. And how do we know that they called on the most wicked of mankind? Because they, the ones who are calling and making dua, they have mentioned in their books stories about them. Stories about Wali Fulan and Wali Fulan and how he did this and how he did that. And Wali Fulan, one of them, they mentioned stories about how he had intercourse with a donkey and the likes like this, amazing affairs. And then they believe that because he did that, people were saved from great distress, and they're waiting for him to do it again and the likes like this. And this is the thing, and they say this is the Wali. And others, they would do things like Bedouins. But mentioned about Bedouin, what did he do? He came to the masjid on Yom Jumu'ah, took his clothes off and passed urine in the masjid, and nothing happened to him. He didn't pray. Sat down and didn't pray. So they said, oh, he must be the wali. He can come in the masjid and pee in the masjid and the likes like this and not pray. Then he must be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they do filthy and foul things. And others from them, one of their followers would get married, their follower would bring their new wife to them, and leave them alone to do that for them. You need to bless her and the likes like this, to commit fornication with her. They would do this, and they narrate stories about this. If you read the books of the extreme Sufia, you will find these stories there. You will find these stories there and worse than these stories. They mention them in their own books themselves. And they consider these to be miracles and amazing feats that they do. And some of them, they don't even pray. They leave off prayer, their prayer and the likes like this, believing that they reach such a high level, they don't have to pray anymore. SubhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed to his last breath. He's praying and encouraging their prayer. The last thing he said, as-salat, as-salat, wa ma malakat aymanakum. But these people, they believe they reach a level they don't have to pray. And these are the ones they're calling on besides Allah. These people who do these filthy and lowly, lewd acts. These filthy, lowly, and lewd acts. And even worse than this, if you read in their books, you will find them. If you read in their books, you will find it. If you read in their books, you will find the most foolish things. We're talking about here about this issue specifically, and how disgusting it is. And they called on the likes of these people, and they narrated to that from the foolish things. I remember now that they have in their books, they have an issue in fiqh, and they believe that some of the awliya, their awliya that they believe in, they reach a level so high that they don't have to make tawaf around the Kaaba anymore. You know what happens? The Kaaba goes to them and makes tawaf around them. That's what they say. And their books. Read in the books of Ghazali and the likes of that, Ihya al-Din. I have the book. You can read it yourself. The awliya, some of them, they reach such a high level and status that the Kaaba goes to them and makes tawaf. So based upon this, now there's an issue in fiqh. What do you do if the Kaaba goes and makes tawaf around the awliya and it's not in its place? Where do you face for prayer? Which direction do you face in prayer? The scholars, they differed upon two opinions. اختلف العلماء على قولين. One of them, they say... This is in their book. One of them, they say, you have to make ijtihad and find the direction of the Kaaba, which wali did he go to? And then you have to face that direction. And others, they say, no, you just face the direction where the Kaaba normally is. And as if it's there. So the scholars, their sulfas, they differed upon two. And if the Kaaba happened to leave the place and go make tawaf around the awliya, then this is the, and either any, some of the scholars, they say you have to make ijtihad and try to figure out which wali he's at that time and face that direction. And others, they say, no, no, you just face in the same direction that the Kaaba used to be in before when it made tawaf around the awliya. Huh? And then whenever, and then some of them, they're so lost. They hear the likes of these stories, Allahu Akbar, al-awliya, mashallah. Then they believe these things. So who is more a fool, the one who made these lies up or the one who believes them? Any subhanallah. Subhanallah. You see how this has come, any to this extent that they have the likes of these affairs? The likes of these affairs. So these people whom they call on besides Allah, they have transmitted from them great falsehood, great evils. And they worship and call on these people who are evil, who are foul, who are wicked. Some of them, they drink alcohol. Some of them, he's the sheikh, but he drinks alcohol. What do you have to billah? What do you have to billah? Oh, he's a sheikh, but he commits fornication. Rather, if you really want to have a good marital life, then first thing you do is you drop your wife off there after you get married. After the contract, you drop him off with the sheikh. And what do you have to billah? And then they narrate the likes of these stories about them, about them. So these are things that are in their books with the other billah. So the people from the later generations, now after these individuals die, they're calling on them. They're calling on them. So this is not to make one of them seem good. And those who called on anything, whoever it is, this is all falsehood and evil and from shirk. And from shirk. But which one is better? The one who calls on a righteous man or the one who calls on an evil, wicked, corrupt man? And at least he calls on somebody's righteous. SubhanAllah. And if you're gonna, none, all of it is shirk, and all of it is evil, all of it is foul, all of it is the worst of all sin. But one of them is lighter than the other one. At least one of them is lighter than the other one. You understand? That's the point of the author. So this is to clarify that these people now, they're even more deviant, that their fitrah is more corrupt, that they're further away from the haq even than Abu Jahl, even than Abu Jahl. Whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla, he sent Abraha to the Bayt, what happened? Whenever Allah, he sent Abraha to come and wipe out the Kaaba, who met him in the path? Abdul Muttalib. What happened? What did Abraha do to Abdul Muttalib? He stole his camels. Remember that? You know the story of the field? Huh? Yeah, you remember the story of the field? He stole his camels. He stole all of his camels. So then Abdul Muttalib, he came out there to get his camels back. And then Abraha is looking at him like, well, I'm coming to destroy your most sacred house and your society is based on. You're asking me about camels? He says, "Ana rabbul ibl wal baytu lahu rabbun yahmiha." Said, "I'm the owner of the camels, and the house has a lord that's going to protect it." And then he started calling on Allah. So this is the way of Abdul Muttalib. What is the way of Abdul Muttalib? That they have at the same time around that Kaaba. At that same time, there's idols all over the Kaaba. He believe in Allah. The point is that the way of Abdul Muttalib is that they worship idols along with Allah Azza wa Jalla. But whenever they're afraid for their life, whenever elephants are coming with their great army to smash them and destroy them and wipe them out and take their women and children and their wealth, now they call on Allah alone. So this is what he's clarifying. But even then, their idols, they were not disobedient. They were not filthy and wicked. The ones who called on besides Allah, as for these people now, they called on their idols or their gods or their saints or their awliya in good times and bad times. And even some of them that they called on are the most wicked and filthy of people. And this has been narrated to us from them. So he says, وَالَذِي يَتَكِدُ فِي الصَّالِحِ وَالَذِي لَا يَعْصِي مِثْلُ الْخَشِبُ وَالْحَجْرُ أَهْوَنْ مِمَّنْ يَتَكِدُ فِي مَنْ يُشَاهِدُ فِسْخَهُ وَفَسَادُهُ وَيَشْهَدُ بِهِ. And so therefore, the one who has a creed, any of this false creed in a righteous person, or a righteous thing that doesn't disobey Allah, or like a tree or a stone, at least they don't do any actions of disobedience, this is lighter. This is lighter than believing as someone who they witness his evils and witness his foulness and his sin and transgression, and they testify to that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.